I read something yesterday on the internet that just made me sad to read. Some of you are too young for this, but there are those among us that would remember a fellow by the name of David Cassidy. He was on the Partridge Family, and at one time he had a fan base that was larger than Elvis or the Beatles, believe it or not. He died last week at 67. And the last four words to his daughter, as she reported it, were, "So much wasted time." That's how he summed up his life. So much wasted time. And I thought we don't think too much about eternity. Generally speaking, most people don't. But the reality is that our lives here, in comparison, are a blink in the eye. Just a blink of the eye. That really, the day will come much sooner than we think, and sooner for some than others, where we will stand individually before Jesus. And I don't know exactly what he's going to ask, but he might ask, so how'd you live your life? And I'm sure that'll be among the questions. And I thought, thank you, God, that we can do something about it still. There's something can be done. I absolutely assure you that there are no tough guys that stand in front of God. I don't care who you are. When you stand in front of God, you are not a tough guy. And thank God for his mercies. And he invites us into intimacy with him so that we really are without excuse. God invites you and I to have as much of him as we want. He's available to us 24/7, and it's strictly by our own choices. And in times of difficulty and crisis, we're so grateful if we have the Word of God living in us. In Colossians 3:16, I believe it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And when you face a difficulty, especially a serious one, the Word of God will rise up inside of you and help you to deal with whatever you have to deal with. Because there's nothing like the Word of God. Jesus said that if his Word abides in us, we can ask what we will. So I want to talk this morning about relationship with God, intimacy with God, how to develop a deeper relationship with Jesus. Let me ask you this, that if you knew that you had a week and then Jesus is coming back, would it influence your day to day? Then why is it that the days just seem to get away from us, you know? They just seem to get away, and that it takes something at times very dramatic to get our attention back in line. God's Word tells us all about him. So let's start by looking at Psalm 50, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. What's he telling us there? What does that word speak to you? Does it say anything at all? What does the word speak to your spirit? This word right here that I just read. What's he telling us? Well, he's telling us, first of all, to offer to God thanksgiving. He tells that in a number of places. That we're to have a thankful heart towards God. We're to have a thankful heart. And then he says, pay your vows to the Most High. What do you hear when you hear that? Pay your vows. Keep your promises to God. Keep your promises. Don't tell God something and then don't do it. Actually, there's another spot where it says, pray your vows, because God doesn't suffer fools easily. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. See, that's talking about a level of intimacy where you can call upon the name of Christ, His Word, and God will come in into your situation and deliver you. And I'm so grateful that God put that word in, because we have called upon Him many, many times. Many times. And God has never, never failed. But it's learning in the relationship of God, how do I relate to Him? What does He expect from me? What are the boundaries of the word, if you will? How can I move into a deeper level of communication with God? How does He expect me to relate to Him? Those are important questions. And it takes more than one scripture to answer that. Our relationship with God is a simple and yet complicated one. Simple in that, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Complicated in that the Bible's filled with promises, but you may never experience some of them, because there are rules, if you will, that go along with these promises. We don't just indiscriminately call upon Christ as our bellhop to do our bidding. It's understanding that, well, let's look at the next one. Luke 18. I've talked about this before. In Luke 18, he gives us an example here about an unjust judge. In the first 8 verses. Who'd like to read that? Any volunteers? What do you have?
Pardon?
What version do you have?
New English translation.
New English. Who has New King James? Sir.
Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
So we read that portion, and what does this say to us? What do you hear when you read this portion of Scripture? What comes up in your heart, in your mind? What are you thinking about when you read this portion of Scripture? Because we're to take the Word of God, and we are to study it. If we're going to appropriate from it, it says it is the Spirit who gives life. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, they're spirit and they're alive. So when we read any portion of Scripture, but this particular one, what are we hearing it? What is the Spirit saying to us? What is the aliveness? What's coming alive in your spirit when you read this word? Because it should be. There should be something. There should be something. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you and He will tell you things to come, and He'll explain the Word of God. So what do we hear when we read this? Anyone?
Peace.
Be persistent? Yep, absolutely. Be persistent. What else?
Tenacity.
When he introduces the words of Jesus by saying that we should always pray and never give up.
Always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Tenacity in going after the things of God. Because there's resistance to it. And what is Jesus looking for here? Last part of the verse, of verse 8. What's he looking for? Faith. He's looking for someone who will believe his word. Someone who will believe his word. How can he tell? How could he tell someone who's believing his word? He tells us in this. What is he saying to us? And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Cry out. What do you hear when you hear that? Cry out day and night. What are you hearing? What is it speaking to you when you hear cry out day and night?
Desperation.
Desperation? Okay.
Answer.
Sorry?
They need an answer.
They need an answer?
A lifestyle.
A lifestyle? What else? It means that these are someone who is pressing in. They're pressing in. They want this promise from God and are not willing to give up. If you want something desperately, you will cry out for it day and night. Day and night. Now that doesn't mean 24 hours a day that you're doing this. It doesn't mean that. What he's saying to us there is that in your heart, and in your words and in your thinking, you're pressing through for that promise. You're pressing through. This woman who went to the unjust judge, she kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming till he finally said, enough. And God uses that as an example for you and I pressing into him. Pressing into him. Why is it important for us to know this? Why is it important? Because if you don't know it, and you don't press in, you're not going to get anything. And you'll be wondering, why isn't God doing more? Why isn't God doing more for me? But it's understanding that God has laid out his word and said, this is how to approach me. This is how to pray. This is how to receive the promises that I've made to you. Now, this isn't the only scripture on that. But it's one of the ones that helps us. It helps us. It helps us understand the character of God. It helps us to learn that God doesn't want to be someone that we just call upon to do our bidding. But it's understanding that in that relationship, we are pressing into God. In the Psalms, there's so many of the Psalms here. I really was at a bit of a loss to kind of figure out which ones, but let's go to the end, Psalm 149, I guess. I'll go there. And just see, Lord, how do I relate to you? How do I relate to God? What is God expecting in my relationship with him? And he tells us here, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints.
Amen.
That's what we did this morning, worshiping God. Worshiping God. But there's a worshiping of God that comes out from our inner being, and there's a worshiping that comes from reading the words on the page. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? The Lord, when he's looking for us to worship him, he's looking for someone who's worshiping out of their heart, out of the depths of their heart. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker, and let the children of Zion be joyful and their king. Joyful. Joyful. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. It pleases God. It blesses God. It makes God happy to see someone worshiping him who is doing so out of a heart that is filled with love for him. That's what he's looking for. The next Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise him in the sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How do you get to know someone? How do you get to know someone? That's not a trick question.
Spending
time with them. Give me a little bit more definition around that. Spending time with them and doing what? Yeah. Asking questions. Sharing the things that are important to you. But asking questions. Learning about the person that you're talking to. Learning about them. And in doing so, you learn to understand what they think, how they think, how they'll respond. For example, who in this room would be able to give us the best possible answer to a question that was put to Martin and he didn't answer it, but we had to guess what his answer would be? Who'd be the best person in here to ask? Why? Because she knows him better than anybody else here. Isn't that true? Why? Why does she know him better? And don't tell me because she's his wife, please. Why does she know him better?
They talk, they communicate, they fellowship.
They spend time together. They spend time together. Martin tells Asha what he thinks. Asha tells Martin what she thinks. And over a period of time, they learn about each other. They learn about each other. See, God is calling us to do that with him. In Hosea chapter 6, it says, come, let us return to the Lord. Verse 3 says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. What is the knowledge of the Lord? Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. What do you hear when I say that? Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Well, that's true, but what do you hear? I'm looking for a specific answer. What is the knowledge of the Lord? The Word of God. The Word of God. Let us pursue the Word of God, we could put there. Let us pursue the Word of God. Pursue the Word of God. And then in chapter 10, verse 12, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Sow righteousness. Sow righteousness. Reap in mercy. Sow righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. What does that tell us? What does that tell us? Boy, there's some real gems in this verse. Sow for yourselves righteousness. What does that mean? Sow for yourselves righteousness. What do you hear when you hear that?
Walking in obedience to God's words.
Yeah. Walking in obedience to the Word of God. Live according to the Word of God. Behave in accordance with God's will. That's sowing for yourselves righteousness. And reap in mercy. Reap in mercy. What is that? That's a promise from the Lord that his mercy will be over you when you're trying to live right before him. That's a promise. So when you screw up, which we all do, there's mercy in the bank. There's mercy in the bank. Well, I don't know about you. That makes me happy. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Okay, tell me what that means. Break up your fallow ground. What's fallow ground?
Hard ground.
How would that apply to us then? Break up your fallow ground.
Hard heart.
Hard heart. Yes. It's asking God, search my heart. But doing it honestly. Search my heart. What was it David said? Search my heart and see. Yeah. God, is there anything in me that's a stumbling block in my relationship with you? Is there anything at all that's a stumbling block? You know, we're often very blind to our own areas, shall we say. Most people are pretty blind when it comes to themselves. And they don't realize that there are times when they're actually opposing themselves in their relationship with God. Because they close off certain areas. They don't want to hear about this. They don't want to hear about that. Everything they do here is filtered through their life experiences. And when the Holy Spirit wants to penetrate, we're resistant. It takes an effort, and it takes honesty, and it takes time to sit before God and say, you know what, sift my heart, Lord, just sift it. Tell me the areas that I need to work on. Where am I resisting you, Holy Spirit? Where am I resisting you? The moment we think we don't have any areas, we're in real trouble. We're in real trouble. For it is time to... Now this is the part I really, really think is extremely important. For it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Time to seek the Lord until He comes and He rains righteousness on you. What do you hear when you hear that? What do you hear? This is telling us how to get close to God, how to have a breakthrough in our relationship with God, how to get God's attention, how to get God's favor, and how to get an answer to our prayer. That's pretty good, isn't it? So I think it's important to understand this. It is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. What do we hear? What does that say to you? A little louder, please.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Okay. What else?
Restore the relationship.
Restore the relationship? Okay, yeah. What else?
Pursue.
Oh, pursue. Okay. Pursue, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a part in here that I haven't heard yet.
Righteousness can only come.
Absolutely. But that's not the part I'm looking for.
Pursue until attitudes are transformed.
Pursue until. Until. What is that? What do we hear when we hear until? Until God comes to you. Until you get an answer from the Holy Spirit. That we seek after God and spend time in His Word and in worship and in prayer. Until He comes. Until He comes. Not most people's prayer life is, you know, we tell God everything we need Him to do and go, amen.
Yeah.
But we don't hear back. God has something to say to us. If you're not getting an answer to prayer, there's a reason for it. Because God's not a liar. So we stay in His presence until He shows up and talks to us. Until. What do you hear when you hear that? You think, oh my God, that long? That's what's critical. That's where many, 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 many Christians miss it. We don't stay there long enough. We don't stay in the presence of God till He brings the answer. And that could take time. That could take time. What kind of time? I don't know. Days, weeks, months. What did he say in Luke 18? What did he say in Luke 18? Until they're to cry out day and night. Cry out day and night. Cry out day and night. And God will respond. We pursue God until he comes and rains righteous answers us. Until he comes, till he shows up. Till he speaks to us and gives us the answer we're looking for. Well, what am I going to do while I'm doing that? Well, we talked about some of the things you can do. You can give thanksgiving, praising God. Matthew 6:6 talks about praying to God in our closet, and he'll openly reward us. Openly reward us if we'll stay in his presence. Philippians 4:6 tells us, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In fact, that's a good scripture to read. Let's read that. Philippians chapter 4. See, this is a lifestyle, but it's also a learning. Learning to relate to God. Learning to relate to God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everything. Everything includes everything. By prayer and supplication. What's the difference between prayer and supplication? Is there? Is there any difference between prayer and supplication?
More fervent.
More fervent. More fervent. Prayer might be, Lord, I'd like the sun to shine today. Supplication would be, I don't want to die, Jesus. Everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. 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 By prayer and supplication. So how am I to relate to God? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. How often do we take the time just to thank God? Just to thank God. To just thank him. And I don't mean, you know, it's running to the car. Thank you, Jesus! I don't mean that. I mean spending time in the presence of God and telling him what he means to us. Telling him what he means to us. How important he is to us. How critical our relationship is with him. Then let your requests be made known to God. So God's okay with us asking him things. He's okay. He's made promises to us, and he's okay with us asking for those promises to be fulfilled. But if that's all we do, our relationship will go nowhere. In John 4:24 it says that we are to worship in spirit. True worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit and in truth. For a lot of years, I didn't even know what that meant. Worship in spirit and in truth. But it's really quite simple. My spirit connects with God. My spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. I'm connected to him. That means I can hear him, he hears me. In spirit and in truth. Truth means no BS. You understand what I'm saying? That truth means an absolutely open and honest heart before God. And that's difficult for most people. Because there are areas in our lives we don't want God involved in. We don't want him to touch. But it's a hindrance. It hinders our relationship with God. It hinders it. If you and I want to have a breakthrough with God, we've got to be honest with Him. We've got to be honest. None of us is going to be able to say to Jesus, yeah, but. None of us. None of us. And I'm telling you now, you're going to stand before God. There's not a person in this room that isn't going to stand before God. How many people, you know, where would I just read this this morning? Narrow is the way and few that find it. Most people don't give any attention to God at all. Most don't. But when they die and they come face to face with Jesus and they know they're not going to heaven. What an incredibly sad moment that is. But it's reality. It's reality, and there's no turning away from it. It doesn't matter if you don't like that. You don't get to make the choice. The most important thing in the world is your relationship with Christ. Nothing's more important than that. Nothing. And I promise you, the day you stand in front of Christ, you'll be so grateful that your name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
Because the alternative literally scares the hell out of me. Let me tell you. And there are no tough guys in hell. There are none. And the Bible tells us wide is the way, and that's where most are going to go. Because they won't give their lives to Jesus. And you don't go to Christ and say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, I take my salvation. I'll let you know if I ever need you again here, but don't bother me with my day-to-day life. That's not a relationship with Jesus. That's not a relationship. A relationship with Christ is a relationship of submission to the Word of God. It's submission to the Word of God. But it's also a relationship where the promises of God will overwhelm you and bless you. God wants to bless us. In fact, the Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth looking for somebody to bless. He's looking for somebody. Anybody. Can I bless anybody? I want someone to bless today. Show me someone. That's the heart of God. Don't you want to be that someone? God will bring us into a level of intimacy that will just blow your socks off. He's not stopping us. We limit to whatever level we want. The good news is we can change that. While we live and breathe here on this planet, we can change that. I can deepen my relationship with God starting today. I can deepen it today. So can you. So can you. God's not mad at you. He loves you. And He wants a deeper level of intimacy. And in the world we're living in today, boy, do we want that. In Egypt this past week, I'm sure you heard, there was a terrorist went after some mosque. They killed, actually as of last night, 305 people. Originally it was 235, but now it's up to 305 people dead and a bunch of others injured. That's the world we live in. We need to know Jesus. We need to know Jesus. We need to know Jesus. I want you to know, anything ever happens to me, don't be sorry. I'm in heaven. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I may not have a palace up there, but I know where I'm going. I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and He is my Savior. And I have all the benefits that belong with that relationship. God loves you. God loves you. Nobody loves you more than God does. Nobody loves you more. Nobody. And He's crying out to you and to me for a deeper relationship. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your graciousness, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love and kindness to us. Lord, we are really grateful to you, Jesus. I'm grateful. We are grateful to you. We bless your name, O God, because there's no one like Jesus. No one. No one like you, Lord. Father, I pray and ask for your blessing on every person in this church. Every person. Pour out your blessing, O God. Let the Spirit of grace come upon each and every one of us, Lord. That today we would be filled and touched, redeemed, set free, healed, and made whole in the holy name of Christ. Amen. So we're going to have communion here, if we can just get stuff up.